Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
Last night was all about round one. And I got to tell you, I don't want to sound like corny company guy. I couldn't have been more proud of ESPN. I mean, that was an incredible endeavor that they undertook yesterday with so many things that could have possibly gone wrong. So many things that could have spiraled out of control with all of those remotes, 60 of them, I think. And then all the remotes of the analyst. And then Trey Wingo did an unbelievable job. I thought it was riveting stuff. I have not seen the ratings yet, but I think it's going to blow away Sunday's Last Dance, which was about 6.3 million. But when we get it, we'll tell you. I just thought that under the circumstances, that was about as unbelievable a television production as you will ever see.
I'm with you 100%. You guys heard me say on the show yesterday, not even a draft guy. It was so well done, it has me excited to watch tonight. Like, I think they really made it compelling. So clean. I don't recall any sort of real glitches on the ESPN end. I mean, there may have been some awkward things that coaches had happen in their houses and things with girlfriends and things of that nature. But on the ESPN side, I'm with you 100%. And Michael, believe me, I sent, you know, real kiss butt emails up and down the whole company to let everyone know how great I felt about
You've really learned at the K New School class.
That's right.
Now, you wouldn't know that there was anything kind of going on. If this was the way they wanted to do it, it kind of just made sense. The only thing that seemed a little awkward to me were the fans behind Goodell. That seemed a little forced.
And also, when he kept trying to, like, urge them on, they couldn't hear him probably.
Yeah, I didn't think that was really necessary. Because I was a big believer yesterday that I'd miss the fans. I really didn't. I think they did a great job of just giving a lot of information and moving things along. It took a little while to get started, but I guess we live with that now in this day and age, right? You know, the game starts at 8, but first pitch ends up being like 8:25. So
Don has been on the rampage about the start for 24 hours.
You know, it didn't bother me at all. I mean, it just gave me more time to watch the TV.
I don't really care about the pomp and circumstance. I want the pick, right? So 8 o'clock, now it's 8:19. Big introduction. The Harry Connick Jr. thing was great. You know, I thought Dr. Fauci being involved, I think that was a nice touch. And then Roger Goodell introducing now, you know, opening the 2020 draft, and then Cincinnati's on the clock. Cincinnati's been on the clock since the Super Bowl. Okay, so do we have to really
but
give
that's
them
every
a
year.
Lot of 10 minutes?
That's every year, every
I know,
draft.
It's not this year, just every year. So because I was just anxious to kind of get it started. But once it did, yeah, there might have been a couple of glitches where you see screens in the back would kind of go to a different like color because they'd lose the feed. And then when they'd have the fans a couple times, they'd have logos up. I'm assuming that's because they lost the feed of that fan or that computer or whatever. But nothing that really got in the way of the broadcast at all. And
Trey, let's be honest, too.
I feel like I know these coaches and general managers more than I did 24 hours ago, just based on where they live and how they conduct themselves, right?
Well, let's be honest. Trey was magnificent.
He was great.
I mean, Wingo was – I mean, he was dressed like a gangster from the early 20s.
Nathan Detroit.
But he was.
That's a problem.
No, he was great. He tried. I sent him a text too. I really thought he was awesome.
I sent him a text too. Don, of course, didn't.
No,
it didn't involve Don.
Occur to me.
He's never heard of you.
I said it didn't even occur to me.
Why wouldn't it occur to you? He's a friend of the show. He did something that was watched.
I don't even have his number.
Probably 10 million. You don't have his number. Well, you got in touch with him when you apologized to him.
That's right.
That was through Twitter.
Well, then do it that way.
Uh-huh. No, I talk to him every Wednesday.
You know, I got to side with Michael here.
No, but think about the awkwardness. So if I do that, right, you know we're going to do the exact same thing on Wednesday and congratulate him. I'll just do it then.
But that's on the air. That's for show.
Yes. Hey, here's what I don't like, okay? And I said this off the air the other day. Like, yesterday, Todd McShay was missed on the broadcast. So he tweets out before the broadcast that he has tested positive for COVID-19. And then all of these people that obviously have his number...
Right.
I mean, they're colleagues. They tweet out, oh, get better. No. Pick up the phone and call them or text them. It doesn't mean, don't show off that you, oh, look how great I, don't do that. Text him.
They may do both.
I didn't compliment Trey Wingo on Twitter. I complimented him in a private conversation.
But Michael's right. If you're going to do both, then obviously you're just doing the social media to get attention.
Right. Oh, look what I know. Look who I know. Look how great a guy I am.
I talk to him every Wednesday. I'll congratulate him then.
But then you're doing it on the show just to show what a great guy you are.
No, because that's my access to him. I'm not going to do it on social media when I know I'm going to talk to him on Wednesday. And I don't have his number. I'm not close to him the way you guys are.
Wow.
I don't have his number. How do you have it, Peter?
Now, we exchanged numbers on Twitter at some point.
Here's one problem I had with yesterday. One. And I don't know if you guys felt the same thing. The pick is made. They show the kids and the family. They don't know the pick is made. The reaction shot is not a reaction shot. The reaction shot you got was later on a replay. What were they listening to?
Yeah, that
at that point
was...
because you look at the fan. Look, if you watch tonight and if they have cameras in the kids' house, they don't react. Oh, there's Mekhi Becton. Now he knows the Jets have picked him. No reaction. The reaction comes later. So I don't know what went
wrong
there.
What was that? Well, I didn't understand that either. I got used to it, but I didn't understand that part.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, show us before the pick. All right, this is where they are. They must be nervous. And then the next time you show us, it should be the reaction.
And I understand why. So let's say it's a 20-second delay from the time they say it to when the players find out. Then why don't they go straight from Goodell to analyzing it for 30 seconds, and then we see them react?
Right, because they're showing us a live shot of nothing.
Right, I'm with you. Now, by the way, is tonight's TV coverage, is the first pick tonight at 6 or at 7?
First pick is at 7.
Okay, 6 o'clock to get us ready.
No, just to annoy Don, probably about 6:20. Or 7:20.
No, 7:20.
Yeah. And let's talk about what the Giants and Jets did. Every year we go through this, all right? I can't be that guy. I just can't. I can't be the guy to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I know the difference between Becton and Thomas and who's good and who's bad. Stop. Nobody out there that does this job, other than Mel Kiper Jr., who's not a talk radio host, and this is his job to know the difference between the... None of us know the difference. I mean, I've read people go, well, why did Giants go with Thomas? He was probably the third of the four offensive. Do you know? Do you know who's better? Do you know more than Dave Gettleman? Do you know more than Joe Judge? It looks like they both got exactly what they wanted. They got big guys that are going to protect the quarterback. Now, we will sit back and wait to see exactly how good they are. Now, we can sit here and argue, why didn't the Giants take Isaiah Simmons? We could sit here and argue and go, wow, the Jets had their choice of any of the wide receivers. Why didn't they do that? And it's very clear that they think the most important thing is to protect Darnold and to protect Jones. That's it. And now we sit back and wait to see how effective these guys are. That's it. We can't sit here and go, I thought Becton was better than Thomas. I don't know why they took Thomas. You really? You're a liar. You're a liar.
Well, I mean, RJ made a good point. You know, you can be excited. You know, I understand someone who really respects the sort of ground and pound of the SEC appreciating getting Thomas and being more excited about an SEC player. You know, you could say that. But, I mean, you're right, Michael. I mean, which of us knows the real ins and outs of how they protect or run block?
And honestly, the SEC had 18 first-round picks.
Unreal.
And honestly, even on the NFL level, Peter, for the most part, we judge whether an offensive line is good or not based on how good the offense is. But from an individual standpoint, we're told that player is good, and that's why we think he's good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if an offensive line works for me, I can't tell you. Yeah, there's sometimes you see a pancake block, or if you wanted to go to a game and just look at that tackle the entire game and appreciate it. But most of the time, we're told that that guy is great and that offensive line is good and that offense is great, and that's how we kind of judge it. So how are we supposed to do it on the college level when most of us never saw any of these players play? Now, so it's all based on what we're told. Mel Kiper, on his mock draft, had Thomas going 10 to Cleveland. So when you as a Giant fan watch who Mel Kiper, one of the most respected draft guys in the business, says that this guy is the 10th best player and he goes at 4, and when he's looked upon as maybe the second or third or fourth best offensive lineman and he's the first offensive lineman taken, that's going to freak people out. But Gettleman is the one that gets paid to do this, but because nobody trusts David Gettleman, nobody is going to love the pick. Now, I wanted Simmons. That was just my own preference because I liked his game. But I wasn't shocked they went offensive line. And if they had the pick of the litter and this is the guy that they picked, then we'll just have to hope that they know more than we do, because I can guarantee you they do.
All right, so let's give you some details. By now at 3:13, the day after, you probably know most of this, but we'll start with Becton. We're going to have him on at 3:30, 11th pick out of Louisville, 6'7", 364 pounds. That's a big man. And he ran an incredible, at that size, 5.1240 at the combine. That's unbelievable. Now, the negative, he was flagged. He had a flagged drug test, which the Jets looked into very closely, and they're not concerned about it at all. And Becton has addressed it, and we'll ask him about it as well. Said it was a one-time thing. He made a mistake, and he would never make that mistake again. It got a little complicated today when his girlfriend tweeted out this glowing Instagram post about how proud she was of him, how he's overcome addiction. Everybody's ears kind of went up. And then shortly thereafter, that same post reappeared without the word addiction in it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of odd. So the Jets, though, I checked it out. Not concerned at all. They did their homework on this guy all the way back to high school. They never envisioned any problem with him. They never saw any problem at high school or at college. Never had a failed test at Louisville. So for some reason, a test was flagged at the combine, and that's one thing that you say, I wonder if that's going to work out. For the Giants, Andrew Thomas, 6'5", 315, and the word is he's probably, of the four offensive linemen that were taken, probably the most pro-ready right now. He has a wingspan of 36 and an eighth inches. He played right tackle his first year, left tackle the last two, and the Giants think that he's going to slide right in. They'll probably play him at right tackle and keep Solder at left, or they could flip-flop that, but we'll see. But he will take over for Solder when Solder leaves after the 2020-21 season. So there you have it. Thomas is they're hoping that he protects the left side of Daniel Jones for a decade, and the same thing with Becton, protecting the left side of Darnold for the next decade. Well, we'll see how it goes. Again, we know what the experts say. We can't sit here and fudge it and say, I like how Becton plays to run, or it's everything that we've read. So you've read the same stuff, so we won't insult you. But both teams accomplished what they wanted. They want to improve their offensive line.
Now, the same criticism of the Giants last year could be applied to this year if you want. Is it possible that Thomas could have been there later, and could you have traded down and gotten the player that you wanted and maybe get some other picks? And it's the same thing with Daniel Jones. Well, Jones would have been there at 17, so I don't know why they just didn't wait. But the same applies, Michael. If this is the guy that you had graded as the best offensive lineman, can you afford to take the chance in trading down and him maybe being taken? And also, we don't know if there are any trades to be had. We thought there was going to be a lot of action in the first half of the first round. There wasn't last night. It wasn't until the second half of the first round. So I hear a lot of criticism about why not trade down if this offensive lineman wasn't judged by everyone as being the best O-lineman. But I don't think you can afford to do that.
No, I
think you were able to afford
either
to do it last year, and I certainly don't think you're able to do it this year.
And I don't think that there was any team that was hot and heavy to jump to get their quarterback. I think the Dolphins played it beautifully. They wanted Tua. They waited, and they got him at 5. They didn't have the tank for him. They actually played well down the stretch, and they didn't have to trade up to the Lions spot at 3 to get him. So they got Tua, and then Justin Herbert goes to the Chargers, and then a lot of news was made when the kid Jordan Love from Utah State was selected by the Green Bay Packers, and
who moved up from 30 up to
right.
26.
Yep, and
to get
they,
him.
From sources have told me that Brett Favre just called Aaron Rodgers today and just said, "How you like me now?" and hung up, because this is pretty much what Aaron Rodgers went through when they, or what Brett Favre went through when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. There's two schools of thought here, everybody. If you're Aaron Rodgers, I understand you being upset because you want to win a Super Bowl now. You don't want them to draft a quarterback that might be sitting on the bench for 4 years. But if you're the Packers and all Rodgers does is complain, and he's 36 years old, don't you have to start thinking about the future? That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Well, he should only be upset at the fact that this is yet another year in which they did not draft a skill position in the first round for him. I don't think he should be upset that they drafted a backup quarterback. He's 36 years old. But they drafted a quarterback when they could have maybe given him a weapon. And in the years he's been there, they've never done that. So I guess he has got a right to be upset there.
Here's Booger McFarland about the Jets pick at number 11, Becton, and here's what Booger thinks.
To me, this is a great pick. We know how big he is. Reminds me a lot of Trent Brown with the way he's able to move at that size. But to me, this is all about Sam Darnold. You need a left tackle. You need to protect your franchise quarterback. And now the New York Jets have a guy that they can put out there, and Sam Darnold can know that his backside is protected.
There you go. And that's exactly what the Jets were looking to do, because they could have had any of those wide receivers, any of them, and they chose to pass, which allowed the Dallas Cowboys to take a wide receiver after trading or spending $100 million to sign Amari Cooper. But the one thing about Amari Cooper that you should know about, that five-year, $100 million deal, none of it's guaranteed. So they'll probably play this year. They could get rid of him, and then this is the guy that's going to take over for him. And Jerry had a beautiful setup on the $250 million yacht, didn't he?
I'm glad he's done well for himself.
He has done very well.
But even Judy fell farther, right? 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to Denver, and there was talk that the Jets could have taken him at 11, but how many people did we talk to or that I read that thought, oh, Judy's not going to be there at 11? Well, there were a ton of wide receivers taken, but it took a while for him to go, because the philosophy seems to be you got to address the line before you can start worrying about skill guys.
It was an interesting draft. It was a lot of fun. Again, we're going to be looking out for the ratings to see exactly what the number was. Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Take some phone calls before we break, and then we'll talk to Becton at 3:30. Why don't we go with Will in Manhattan? Will, start it off.
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was just injecting some Lysol into myself.
Good for you. I heard that's not good.
Not
a
great.
Oh, I'm not supposed to be doing
No.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, I misunderstood it too, Will.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm kind of glad with what the Giants did. I think they literally went with the best guy they thought the best guy was. Actually, you know, Tannenbaum actually said he was the best offensive lineman. That kind of shocked me. Yesterday, he said before the draft, they asked Canty and them asked him who they thought was the best. He said he was number one, and I had never heard that before.
Yeah, well, so, I was actually talking on the phone with Dave Rothenberg earlier today, and he said there were four different interviews he did with Mike Tannenbaum over the last month asking him who the Giants should take, and that was his answer every time. So he's been on board with this guy from the beginning.
You know, it was interesting. You know, the Giants had their choice of the four, and they took Andrew Thomas. Then the Jets, the way the draft broke down, which was kind of shocking, they had their choice as well of two, I believe. Jedrick Wills Jr. went to the Browns.
Right.
But then they had Tristan Wirfs. He was on board, and so was Becton. Wirfs ends up going to the Buccaneers with the 13th pick, and the Jets took Becton. Right. So when you're picking 11th, there's a chance that none of the four could be there. But for the Jets, two of the four were there. And they seem like they really liked the pick, because they did talk a lot to Becton in the days leading up, so they certainly did their homework on him.
Could talk to Becton.
Oh, we'll get him soon.
Okay, good.
8 minutes. Perfect. Mac and Randolph. What's up, Mac?
Hey, guys. Happy to talk to you. I just wanted to say, I think the NFL did a great job last night. I think they couldn't really be happier with what they did. I thought Roger did well. A little cringy certain times, but I thought overall he was good.
He's not comfortable in front of the camera, you know?
You'd think he'd be better at it. But
I agree that he's cringy. I think that's almost his brand. But I will disagree that he's uncomfortable in front of a camera. I think he likes it a lot.
Well, he looks uncomfortable. Just, maybe I should say that.
I was uncomfortable watching it. I don't know.
No, yeah, exactly. Just, you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think he feels
maybe
quite comfortable.
Not, yeah. But I thought it went well. He kind of embraced the booze. But I just think they did a great job. And you, Michael, just addressed it. But I'm also curious how that ratings was up against The Last Dance.
Yeah, I think it's going to beat it. I really do. First of all, it was on ABC and ESPN and the NFL Network, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to combine all those.
I think it's going to be the highest rating a draft ever got, ever. Let's go to Joe in Queens. Joe.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, buddy?
Great. How are you?
I am wonderful. I was watching the draft last night, and I thought that Gettleman missed an opportunity. He had the fourth pick. Tua was there. He knew that the Dolphins and the Chargers needed a quarterback. Why not take Tua, make some phone calls, you know, get the Dolphins to give him their, you know, swap picks, and maybe get a late first rounder or a second rounder. And yeah, you know,
but
still
Joe,
get,
if you take
Thomas.
If you take him and then you can't come to a deal, then you're really messed up. So I think he examined deals that could be there, and he said everything was kind of lukewarm. The Dolphins, I think, were content with gambling.
Yeah,
and they read the draft beautifully. I think the Dolphins had a really good draft.
I don't think you take that chance. Early indications, Michael, are combining ABC, ESPN, NFL Network, and ESPN Deportes, $15.6 million.
Yeah, Peter, you were right.
Up 37% from last year. I wasn't thinking about the fact that it's on ABC, too. I forgot it. It's impossible. That broke
the previous record of 12.4.
That's not break. That's shattered.
That was back in 2014.
Shadoobie.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
One moment. I'm sorry. Can I jump in for one moment? Because please. I wanted to tell Peter what I was trying to say. Anthony Sciotis helped us out. The stat was, since Aaron Rodgers became the starting quarterback for the Packers, they've taken more quarterbacks in the first round, Jordan Love, than skill position players. Because they haven't used a first on a position player since he's been the quarterback. So that's the stat.
They haven't used their first round pick on
a position player.
Got it.
Since
okay.
he became the starting quarterback.
And
sorry,
that's why Rodgers is upset, I would think.
No, that's especially the only reason. I mean, he can't be upset that they have his replacement there. If he believes in himself, that guy's never going to get on the field.
Then he doesn't have to worry about it. But by thinking about the future, the 36, soon to be 37-year-old is saying, wait a minute, my window's closing. Why didn't you give me a skill position player in a deep wide receiver draft where maybe this 13-3 team last year could win a Super Bowl before I retire? So that's it, more than, oh, you're thinking about getting rid of me. Well, I wanted to keep a draft theme for the rest of the week. So, since both the Jets and the Giants went offensive line, I decided to go with top five New York offensive linemen. So, the top five Jet and Giant offensive linemen in the Super Bowl era.
Oh.
I did that because you got Rosie Brown and Mel Hine that go back, you know, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So, I wanted to keep it somewhat up to date. So, this is in the Super Bowl era, top five New York offensive linemen.
Can I go first?
Sure.
Please.
And I'll go with the best looking one. I don't know if he's number one. Sean O'Hara.
Just missed.
Oh, a friend of the show? You couldn't get him in the top five?
No. But very good.
And handsome.
Love him. And he is, especially looking at the list here, he's definitely the better looking of these gentlemen.
I'm going to go recent also.
Okay.
And I may sound like a fool, you know. Nick Mangold.
I have Nick Mangold at number two. Seven-time Pro Bowler. And I do believe he's going to get himself into the Hall of Fame. Played with the Jets from 2006 to 2016. I have Nick Mangold. Just because he spent his entire career with the Jets and seven Pro Bowls, I have him at number two.
What do you have to DeBrickishaw Ferguson?
Ah, the Brick.
Just outside the top.
Oh, Michael's up.
What?
Sean O'Hara, DeBrickishaw Ferguson. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize this till yesterday, Don. I'm sure you know because you're Mr. Jet, that Woody Johnson loved DeBrickishaw so much, he named his son after him. Named his son Brick. His son's Brick Johnson.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's a great name, though.
Yeah, but you gotta play,
tough.
But now you got to play football, and you got to be tough.
At least be tough. Right. If you're not tough with the name Brick, it's an unfortunate choice.
If you're the world's biggest softie,
you
and your name
is Brick, right, Peter? So he was definitely trying to make it seem even sexier. Because if you're really in love with DeBricka Shaw Ferguson, then name the kid DeBricka.
Oh, DeBricka Shaw.
DeBricka Shaw.
Why would you come up short at the end of his name?
Yeah, that's DeBricka true. Doesn't sound like a good name.
No, DeBricka's the girl version, you're saying. You just go DeBricka.
Right. All right, so you still have 5, 4, 3, and 1. But two very good guesses with Sean O'Hara and DeBricka Shaw Ferguson.
Obviously, Nate Solder.
I didn't say the richest.
Oh. All right, how about Jumbo Elliott?
Oh.
Thought about him, too.
Oh, my goodness.
He played with both the Jets and the Giants, but do you realize Jumbo Elliott only went to one Pro Bowl? So he doesn't belong on the list of these five, although very good, and played for both, and played well for both. Pretty much split his career between the two.
I can't believe Brick didn't make it.
Well,
duh, Brick. Michael, you got to help us with an older one here.
I'm trying to come up with it. It's hard.
I've got two Hall of Famers.
Right.
One is in the Ring of Honor for his team. So these are pretty significant.
How about Bart Oates?
Bart Oates at number 4. Center for the New York Giants from 1985 to 93. Four-time Pro Bowler with the Giants. Also went to a Pro Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers and won a Super Bowl with the Niners. But he won two Super Bowls with the Giants in 86 and 90. Bart Oates, number 4.
How about son-in-law? Chris Snee.
Chris Snee, believe it or not, Michael, is the one that's in the Ring of Honor. He's in the Giants Ring
there
of Honor.
Go,
two-time
Michael.
Super Bowl champion. Guard for the Giants from 2004 to 2013. He went to 4 Pro Bowls. Chris
so we
Snee,
still don't have number 1.
Don't have number 1, and you don't have number 5. And I will tell you, 5
oh, I got
and
it.
1 are in the Hall of Fame.
I got it.
Yes.
I got it.
This is
you
one
You want to go
5.
Peter or not?
Well, is one of them a recent Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Go
fairly
ahead.
Recent.
Go ahead, Michael.
Kevin, I need a vowel on the Y.
Right. He's on the list, but I have him at 5.
And wow.
At center, because he...
You know what? It's such disrespect, you might as well have left him off the list.
You don't even know why it's disrespect, okay? First of all, he spent 7 years elsewhere. That's what ended up putting him at 5. But 98 to 2005, he did go to 6 Pro Bowls in that time. Hall of Famer, spent 3 years in Seattle, an additional 4 at the end of his career in Tennessee. So that's why I had him at 5. If he had spent his whole career with the Jets, he'd be easily number 1. That's why I have Nick Mangold ahead of him, because Nick went to 7 Pro Bowls, but he spent his whole career with the Jets. So, you know, Mawai was able to build a lot of that Hall of Fame resume in the 3 years in Seattle and 4 years in Tennessee. So
you said the number 1 guy is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
So it can't be car dealer Brad Benson.
No, it can't be.
Hall of Famer.
How is Mawai in the Hall of Fame ahead of the members of the Hogs? It's ridiculous.
Mawai was great.
Hogs great? Come on.
Yeah.
Stop
well, the Hogs in like together as a unit. But Mawai was terrific. I mean, as a center, he could pull to guard. He was athletic. Tremendous player.
Is this an old-timey player?
Well, it's the Super Bowl era, but I will tell you, he played some of his career pre-Super Bowl era, but a lot of it was in post-Super Bowl era and did win a Super Bowl.
So this has to be the man who protected Joe Namath.
That's right.
How about
8-time Pro Bowler?
How about Winston Hill?
Winston Hill is number 1. So Michael's back on the horse, picking number 1.
Yeah,
tackle
I don't like.
That.
I mean,
Jets
I like the list, but you left out very good players.
But again, somebody said I should get a shirt made. This is now my like catchphrase. Who are you taking out? Winston Hill, 8-time Pro Bowler, won a Super Bowl in the Hall of Fame, was a Jet from 1963 to 1977.
Wow.
But Jumbo's a good one. All the ones that you mentioned, I thought of. Except Brad Benson, I didn't think of him. But I don't think he deserves there. That's why I didn't think of him.
Great car dealer, though.
Car dealer, and everything that I remember about him is like a nose that was absolutely destroyed, right? He'd have that, I don't even know if it was a breathe right strip, but that's what it looked like, I guess. And right, just a mangled, bloody mess.
And you know what I
love Brad Benson.
His inappropriate commercials that made me laugh.
What was inappropriate?
Oh, he would have a lot of double entendres about his car.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And they weren't really hard to figure out.
Right. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Michael, because we had, when Justin Craig was our program director, he erred on the side of caution, doesn't even describe it.
Oh, I know.
Might have pulled a couple of those spots.
Brad has sold those dealerships, right?
Yes,
I think.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
But any Giant fan will remember him. Great guy. But not top five.
You know, Brick might be in the Hall of Fame.
He may be. Again,
then
this
does,
is
that
all,
change,
again,
does that change
we're
things?
Well, we're narrowing it down to the top five. I think Bardot should be in the Hall of Fame. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons I called Dave earlier, because we were kind of discussing, like, if Chris Snee, who won two Super Bowls, went to four Pro Bowls, is in the Ring of Honor, and you could say maybe Tom Coughlin had some influence there, shouldn't Bart Oates be there?
You would think, right?
And I was asking Dave, did I miss something? And I didn't have time to look it up. Like, he went to San Francisco and won a Super Bowl there, and the Giants and Niners were rivalries. Are they bitter about that? But I think Bart Oates should definitely be there. He was an amazing player for the Giants.
Interesting.
But that's the list today.
Rick Cimini just tweeted out, Becton's high school coach Lauren Johnson said he was contacted by security people and area scouts from several teams, but only one GM called, the Jets' Joe Douglas. They spoke for 45 minutes on Tuesday. Douglas wanted to vet Becton personally. I like Joe Douglas. I like the cut of his jib, as we like to say on this
show. I like him a lot.
Because he seems like an honest dude, and he had a real honest hug for his children after he made the pick. He said he wanted to vet Becton personally after it was revealed last week that a drug test from the combine was flagged. Johnson of Highland Springs High School in Virginia called Becton a phenomenal kid who had no off-the-field issues in high school. That's according to Rich Cimini.
He just made a mistake, but an awful time to make the mistake, though.
Yeah, that's not good. But I did say yesterday, it's according to what the drug is. If it's marijuana, I can't. I mean, that's why teams passed on Laramie Tunsil, who just got $66 million.
Right.
But the Tunsil thing, you know, and you always go to this, and he is a phenomenal player, right? And I do agree that right now where marijuana is, it's silly, right? It's legal in a bunch of states. But to videotape yourself with a gas mask with it, that's just being stupid.
Like, ahead of his time for
nervous.
COVID, though.
I would just be nervous to draft him. It's like, just how stupid can you be? Not that you smoked marijuana, but that you did it so defiantly and put it up on social media the way that you did. I'd have to wonder, are you brain dead? I mean, what's the matter with you, right? That Peter, I'm not saying I wouldn't have drafted him, but that sends up the red flag more than you smoked it.
Yeah,
I'm not worried
video,
you're potted. It's just you're not smart.
From an optic standpoint, the video left something to be desired. It was in a
video,
word,
right?
Troubling.
You
want to tell
video,
you,
right?
Oh yeah,
I want to tell you about Saturday on the MSG Network.
Please,
full day of Wayne Gretzky's greatest moments as a New York Ranger. First at 2, Gretzky makes his Blue Shirts debut and reunites with Mark Messier. Then at 4, the great one scores a playoff hat trick versus the Panthers. Followed at 6 by another incredible playoff hat trick, this time against the Flyers in the conference finals. And at 8, the great one says goodbye at the Garden in his final game. It's a day of Gretzky presented by Montefiore, Saturday starting at 2 p.m. on MSG Network. After that final one at 8, there's also a very special half-hour show. Gretzky buys Don a burger. So that's
really? They're finally airing that?
Yeah, they're going to air that. They've been working on it. Also, did you see this, Don? MSG is going to air, I think, 2 or 3 of Jeremy Lin's greatest games.
Ooh.
This guy had been erased from the record books of MSG. He wasn't allowed to be shown on the scoreboard, ever mentioned, and now they're actually showing his greatest games.
Wait. I'm sorry. I know I'm stupid. Why was he erased from history?
Because he left the team as a free agent. And, you know, Dolan made him an offer, and he got a much bigger offer from the Rockets, which at the time I said, let him go. He's not worth that, and I was
but
right.
Everyone knew that. Like, that was the real common thought, was he's going to get...
But I think Dolan believed that it was, like, underhanded the way it was done. And he's pretty much been, you know, just etch-a-sketched out of the Garden.
And, by the way, that's interesting. He's another person, even though his run in New York was half a season, basically, in New York, for the Knicks, that is. He should be someone who, as time goes on, is a part of the team, because guess what? Fans will always react to him. Always.
You
that moment's forever.
You cannot underestimate that moment. I mean, it was almost, championship worthy in the way that we talked about it. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated back-to-back weeks, Peter. There are teams that win championships that do not get the attention the Knicks got in that span of time.
He would be a guy who gets an ovation in the Garden for the rest of his life, and that should be a relationship that should not end because of pettiness. That's silly.
And you know what? That's the thing that concerns me sometimes about the Garden. These petty little feuds, it makes them look small, not the person.
Yeah, like why?
Like not bringing back Marv Albert makes them look small, not
right.
Marv.
And ultimately,
so maybe this is the first sign of a thaw.
You can't when you do those things, even with Yogi, and this is where I'll kill Yogi for not wanting to go back to Yankee Stadium after George fired him. I understand that George broke a promise, but you think you're defying the organization, or the organization thinks they're defying the player. You're really screwing the fans. Is what you're doing, because the fans are the ones that want the number retired or the video when he returns,
yep,
or the appreciation. That's who you're really sticking it to. So no offense to Yogi, but you know, all those years of staying out at Yankee Stadium, the ones you really hurt were all the fans that wanted to see you.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you, and now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current NMAC customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites. Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to 2 monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-120.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Today, two opponents enter.
I hate Don.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael K.
Only one makes it out.
Let's go with Don!
Who will win this daily competition where the standings don't matter?
What?
We find out.
Okay.
In the latest edition of Last One Standing.
Welcome to Last One Standing, a Friday edition of Last One Standing. Yesterday was exciting. It was dangerous. It was special. Yeah, and it was won by Michael K.
No, it wasn't. I lost.
It was won by Don LaGreca. That's how meaningful it was.
We need our host to be more engaged. What do you think?
Can you imagine like Bob Barker ever doing something like that?
I know. It's horrible, too, because I really enjoy the game. And then the second it ends, I have no recollection of what happened that day.
That's probably how you are with the entire show.
How dare you? That's absolutely not true.
At 7:01, you're thinking about what was said on the show.
6:01 today.
6:01. No, it's at 6:01, I'll probably be putting a dinosaur wing in my mouth.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Good, I think it's dinosaur night. I really think it is.
Have you ordered it yet?
No, I'll probably order it around 5:20, 5:30.
Right. Oh, right around the NN.
Hopefully it's not one of those situations where they show up during and Bear goes crazy, because we've seen that happen before.
So your building lets them upstairs?
They let them deliver the food to the door.
Interesting.
But
that's not good.
Well, all the delivery people are wearing... Actually, you know what? I take it back. They don't. Sorry. These days, they take them, and then someone from the building delivers it to the
door. There you go. Sorry. That's what I'm talking about.
Are you guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I believe, I don't know, Michael's starting today?
I don't know, Don. Do you know?
I think you are, yes.
I believe it's Michael. I will say this. A lot of the questions here have gotten rather hard that are left. But I'll try to start easy. I think I have a couple easy ones.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, we've been thinking a lot about college football, haven't we?
Yeah.
Nick Saban has won 6 national championships.
Mm-hmm.
5 with Alabama and 1 with this school.
Well, he's coached at Michigan State, but he won the other title with LSU.
You know, people can say a lot of things about you, but they can't say you're not diverse. That's absolutely correct. Hey, Don.
Hey, sweet knees.
Sweet knees?
That's right.
Okay. This quarterback is the NFL's all-time leader in career passing yards.
Well, I guess it would have to be Tom Brady, since he's played so long. Although I have no confidence at all.
Well, every once in a while, we have a very fast edition
of
Last One Standing. Apparently, Don didn't watch the whole NFL season last year. Michael, you want to help out here?
I think it's a little Drew Brees.
That's correct, because you remember the whole thing. They did the ceremony.
I remember everything now that you said it. But
I almost get the feeling, though, Peter, that seems like a tank job right there, something that Don's really against.
No, you're absolutely right, and as soon as you said it, but I was just, I was using
You know what, though?
It was so bad.
It was so horrifying what we just did. I'd like to make up a bonus game right now.
No. Okay. No.
Come on. It'll be fun.
I want to take the win into the weekend.
No, you have the win, and I think you'll win this one, too. So doesn't that make you want to play? Because I know Don doesn't care about losing.
Did you like the rug that Henry Rugg, the robe that Henry Ruggs III wore?
I respected it big time.
I would have done it. Old Spice paid him. All right, play the other game.
Well, I don't know if you guys know, episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance are on Sunday night, 9 o'clock on ESPN television. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. I heard Trey promote it.
So let's do a little back and forth between Michael and Don. Andrew doesn't know about this, but I think you'll like it. Players who played with Michael Jordan on any team from North Carolina through the Wizards.
God hates me.
What? There's hundreds.
You're not going to name them all. You know the ones you remember. Don, you know how the game works, right?
Yes.
Well, I know how it works, but we could be here for 5 hours.
Well, I don't think we will be.
I'll go first.
All right.
James Worthy.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, and because you guys are both show-offs, that's a good, you go early. I like it.
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Buzz Peterson.
B.J. Armstrong.
Mm. Steve Kerr.
Uh-huh.
John Paxson.
Ooh.
Dennis Rodman.
Mm.
Bill Cartwright.
Ah.
Bill Wennington.
Oh!
Tony Kukoc.
Okay.
Oh, you son of a gun. That was the one I was going to say.
You haven't named all the stiff white guys.
Joe Klein.
You still haven't. Keep going.
Now I have.
No, there's more. There's a big one you're forgetting.
Horace Grant.
I can't lose this. And I'm going to. I'm about to lose it.
Don't forget all his teams. Three. Two.
Andrew Wiggins.
I don't think that's correct.
No.
Don!
Doesn't count, though.
First of all, no one said Will Perdue, did you?
No.
No. And you know what I was going to
do? No one said Rip Hamilton, Caron Butler.
Could I have said Larry Bird or Christian Leitner
or
Magic Johnson or Patrick Ewing.
Well, then that would have been its own game. It's just called Name the Dream Team. Michael,
you
okay?
Did play on 18.
No, see, I didn't want to play it, and now made me play it.
You won, Michael. You won. We had a little extra time.
The fact that I lost a basketball-centric one to you is embarrassing to me because that's your least favorite sport. And now I have to take that into the weekend rather than the win. I should never agree with what you guys do.
But in that time, I was much more into basketball than I am now.
And you guys forgot Oakley also.
Yeah, you're right.
Sitting right there for you.
Well, I didn't need it.
Did anyone do Judd Bushler?
No.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting.
We did. We ran through it pretty good, though.
I think that was fun.
I couldn't
think
of a
wizard. You know what I did that was
though.
Wrong?
Hmm.
See, I have to be smarter.
That's right.
There's no way that Don would know his teammates on North Carolina. I should have saved Buzz Peterson in my back pocket. And I should have started with Scottie Pippen like he did. If I took away the obvious, he'd be lost.
But I
went first, I would have said Worthy. But that would be it from North Carolina.
I mean, he was Buzz Peterson's best man. I played the game like a Momo.
If you told me Buzz Peterson was an astronaut, I would have believed you.
Why does every Buzz, you got to go astronaut? It's the only job for a man.
Right,
Buzz.
I mean, Buzz Lightyear and
Buzz Aldrin.
That's right. Those are the two you know, right?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. This is the Michael K. Show.
With the fourth pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Andrew Thomas, tackle, Georgia.
Andrew Thomas. Now, have you spoken with Daniel Jones yet? Because you two are going to be connected for about a decade, maybe more.
I haven't spoken to him yet. I know he's shouting me out on social media, but I'll definitely be in touch with him soon.
That's the job of Daniel Jones, to call these guys.
I just thought of what Jones' excuse could be. He doesn't have the number, so he might have to call Joe Judge. Joe Judge may say, listen, I'm not giving you the number because you're not guaranteed to be the
great
first quarterback.
Not only that, Joe Judge won't even program his name into his phone, right. So it just comes up as a random number.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so the draft is the big story today, and you know, listening to what they were talking about on Golic and Wingo, I find it interesting that of the quarterbacks taken in the first round, I think that the guy that's going to play the most is Tua, because they probably have the weakest quarterbacks in place. Now, I feel sorry for Josh Rosen. He's never going to get a chance, right. Ever. I don't even know why they brought him there. And Fitzpatrick's a nice backup. But I think if Tua is healthy, why not run him out there and let him play and let him take the bumps and bruises, maybe even by the third or fourth game, because Miami's not expected to win. Now, San Diego, the Chargers, I think they might have gotten the guy who's ready to play right away in Justin Herbert, because there's no question about his health. But they do have Tyrod Taylor. And in Love, I don't think he's going to play for 3 years, so he's out of the equation. The only debate is who gets more time, Tua or Herbert. Well, the Chargers have a chance to be a decent team. I think they go with the experienced guy, and they'll make Herbert sit there and watch. But I think it behooves the Dolphins to play Tua from the very beginning. If he's healthy, he's healthy. If he's not, then that's a different story, and you want him to just redshirt, so to speak, this year. But I don't think they'd have taken with the fifth pick if they didn't think he was healthy.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. And if he's healthy, gets a chance to play, Fitzpatrick is the perfect backup for him. There's no pressure to win immediately, right away. I think that could end up being a fabulous pick for Miami. And like I told you, I had to listen on the radio a little bit last night because I was on, you know, baby duty and a lot of other things I had to do. Is like Mike Tannenbaum was just having a great conversation about now that Brady's out. You know, think of the quarterbacks that are in this division and a legitimate conversation on who the best quarterback is now. You know, for 20 years, it was an easy answer. It wasn't anybody that was even close. Now with Brady gone, the next few years is going to be a very interesting debate on who is the best quarterback in the AFC East.
I'll tell you what. When they showed that the Tua package when the Dolphins made their pick, I was very jealous. It just reminded me of how good he was before he got hurt.
I mean, the Chase Young package was pretty good, too. You shouldn't be jealous.
Yeah, I know. And I'll tell you this. I love that Chase Young is from the area and loves the team and celebrated last night singing Hail to the Redskins. That's pretty cool. You love that. Haskins, too. It's pretty interesting. But I don't know, man. Tua looks so – when you watch those highlights and remember – because we've been thinking injury, you end up kind of getting away from thinking about how much he blew your mind when you first saw him play the position.
Right. No, he's that good. He is that, you know. Also, they showed left-handed quarterbacks who had the most touchdowns in history.
Yeah,
I was surprised our friend Boomer Esiason is number one ahead of Steve Young. Because, I guess all those years on the bench killed that for Steve Young.
Not only that, but Boomer played a lot longer than you think.
Boomer was really good.
I remember him playing in Arizona in the late '90s. You know, so he hung around. He played a long, long time. And you're right. You know, Steve was backing up Montana for a while. Started in the USFL. But Esiason, very, very underrated career. He didn't win, went to a Super Bowl, but...
We always throw him...
Yeah.
And we always... he won the Super Bowl, the MVP. He won the season MVP. '88?
I'm not certain of
the year they lost.
I think it's the year they lost on the Taylor touchdown.
Yeah. So we always end up throwing Boomer Esiason kind of in that Phil Simms conversation because same era, occupy the same space now. As pros, they do not occupy the same space. Esiason was a full notch up.
Full notch up of who?
Phil Simms.
He was.
No.
Yes, he was.
Full notch? No.
I think he's a full notch.
Full notch? No.
No.
What, half a notch?
Maybe half a notch. Maybe.
I'm going to go to the stats and we'll decide how many, if it's a full notch.
It's kind of unfair with the stats.
Oh, is it? Why? They're the exact same era.
No, they're not. Phil was done in 93.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think
they're a lot closer, obviously, than comparing guys of today. But it'd be interesting to punch up. I've always felt Phil was better, but I never looked at the stats.
Wow. All right, let's pull it up.
Phil's Super Bowl performance certainly give you a lot of things to throw into an argument. 22 of 25?
Phil Simms' career, though, 79 to 93. Of course, nothing in 82 and 83.
Right, hurt.
But he went, his career completion percentage, 55, 199 touchdowns, 157 interceptions. Never led the league in any statistical category that I see.
Well, they ran the ball a lot.
Yeah, they weren't that kind of team. And overall record, we should throw that in too, 95-64.
That's very good.
Very good. And I haven't looked at Boomer yet. I'm looking at Boomer right now. Boomer played from 84 to 97, so started 5 years later. His completion percentage, 57. 247 over 184.
So however, he threw a lot more.
However, that career record, 80-93, of course, no Super Bowl. I take it back, not a full notch. Total yards for Boomer, 37,920. Total yards for Simms, 33,462. So you're right.
I mean, I think it's a great debate, but say full notch,
I don't think you can.
And also, the one who loses that debate, all they have to do is use the Don argument. And we're in the same room.
They were definitely in the same room.
No, I think they're literally
in the same room. They work in the same room.
Oh, that's a great point. Yes, they are.
I don't know what the Patriots are doing. I can't figure it out. I mean, they had a first-round draft pick. Are they really going with this kid at quarterback?
Oh, yeah. That's what it seems like, right?
Yeah. It does. And it seems like they're almost tanking this year, which I can't believe that they would do. But where are the skill position players?
Although it would be interesting if they did.
The defense is too good.
But why would a coach who's 68 years old tank?
I don't think he is. I don't think he plans on going anywhere anytime soon. They could be in a rebuild. I think he's going to try to win all the games he can, but I don't know if he's going to make any large investments to win in 2020. I think he believes he's got the young quarterback and he'll build accordingly. Even though he's 68, I don't think he plans on going anywhere anytime soon.
Let's talk about what happened. And I'll start with Peter on this. C.D. Lamb yanks the phone out of his girlfriend's hand.
Correct.
In full view of the entire nation, 15 million people watching. Did they, you think, have a verbal altercation after the draft?
No. I don't think she's saying one word about it.
Interesting.
I don't know either of these people to know how they're going to
No, I'm literally making this up, but on the day that someone becomes a multimillionaire, I don't think a lot of people say very much. That's part of the problem.
All right, now we go to Don. Mike Vrabel. What do you think of the fam?
I love it because what he is trying to do, whether it's intentional or not, is trying to be the anti-Patriot, right?
He seems like he is.
And I don't know if it was intentional, but boy, how smart would it be if it were? Like, that's always the case of, oh, all these, you know, former Patriot guys all got to be like Bill, all buttoned up. I mean, he was having a good time with it. It had to be. There was so much going on there. Even without, because I guess after looking at it, I was maybe hoping a little too much. I guess the kid's not going to the bathroom. But just the fact that it's out there as conversation just says there was a lot going on.
I mean, Twitter blew up. When they showed that place, it blew up. Now,
how about Bill Belichick's dining room?
It was nice. That's
was it nice?
It was all right.
It wasn't like
house.
It wasn't Cliff Kingsbury's house.
That's what I was going to go to next. The Ringer, you know, ranked all the coaches' houses, and Cliff Kingsbury is, I mean, far and away better than anybody. It's just a second-year coach. And then you got Joe Judge working out of a utility closet.
And someone said, I'm sorry to not credit whoever, it was a verified person, to not credit whoever made this joke, but someone posted a picture of Kingsbury's house and him sitting in that amazing living room with the open windows behind him and the huge TV, and someone said, what does this man do for a living? And the person retweeted and wrote, cocaine. I mean, it did. It looked like, you know, Manuel Noriega's house. It's ridiculous. It was Scarface.
Yeah, they said, I read that he bought it for like $4.5 million when he got the job.
Yeah, wait, $4.5 in Arizona.
Yeah, which is so, a lot of money in Arizona.
I was going to say, so imagine that in a real part of the world, and it would be like $25 million. Sorry, that was a joke. Don't call me Arizona people angry. Just kidding. But yeah, that's a cheap market.
No, it looked beautiful.
Beautiful home. Who else?
Somebody also tweeted out that he looked like he was going to the club afterward, the way he was dressed.
And then, of course, there was Isaiah Wilson, whose girlfriend was, like, cuddling him before his mother picked her up by her arms and moved her away. That's what I'm excited about for the draft tonight, is what other awkward things will we see happen in people's houses?
Well, I don't know if you guys thought about this when they showed Adam Gase. First thing that popped in my mind is you won't spend Thanksgiving with him, but it's okay to have the kids around during the draft.
You know what? It's a great point. And did he know who those children were? Or could people have been pranked?
He wouldn't say their names, though. He wouldn't say their names because he doesn't want to have one be a favorite over the others. Child number one.
That's a Joe Judge thing. I don't know if Gase.
Gase.
Yeah, how dare you, Michael? How dare you?
I got Gase like, oh, Thanksgiving. You kidding me? They're sending the family away. I got a game to prepare for.
I somehow did not really pay attention.
Let's take some calls.
Joe Judge's house. Oh, it's great.
Peter, I think we should go to Milkbone. We haven't heard from him.
Oh, yeah. I love Milkbone.
How's he feeling about the Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys, Milkbone?
Oh, here we go. How you doing, boys?
Good. How are you?
I can't believe you weren't in that Jersey for Jersey thing, man. What's up with that?
I don't know. Ask them.
It's a great point. It would have been very intriguing if you'd shown up.
Yeah, but honestly, her name's Adeline. She was born and she's 8.5 pounds 2 weeks ago. Wow. And woo! I was trying to get in touch with you. I even tweeted you guys, and I even opened up Twitter again just so I could show you pictures of her. But
oh man, I didn't see that.
I didn't see it. I gotta find it, man. I didn't see it. You tweeted at us?
My Twitter handle is Milk B, because apparently everybody else is another Milkbone. So I had to make it @MILKB at Milk B. But yeah, I tweeted the whole thing with obviously I didn't tweet the picture of her naked on a bed, but I
I'm so happy for you, man.
That's awesome, so man. Cool. Was it a scary experience dealing with the hospital?
You know what? You know, I'm glad, Pete. I'm glad you asked me that because it was feeling like being hospitalized and imprisoned because it's not like I can't leave the hospital. I was lucky enough to be in the room, but I couldn't even leave the room itself for 3 days.
Wow.
You can't go anywhere. Yeah, I was still blessed to be have the situation at my hands, but still it was wow. really, really serious.
Well, congrats, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, congrats.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right,
man,
so what do you think of C.D. Lamb?
Here we go. Here we go. Now you want to talk?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm kind of really concerned because Redskins made a great pick. Giants made a great pick. Cowboys made a great pick. So now is the season going to start?
Yes.
Cuz Cowboys got some serious fire that we could throw at you, and Pete, your team made a great pick. Don, your team made a great pick. But now, like, is this really going to happen?
I think it will. Really, I don't think it'll happen in front of fans, but I do think there'll be NFL football. I do. Because we're talking about, you know, July. There's already because I talked to a few people about that whole NHL rumor about playing in the four, playing in the divisions and having something by June, and that seems to be a target date. I know it's all folly right now because we're still in April and there's still so much going on. Although, how great was it, Peter, to see that everything was down in New York City today? So it was like a good news day for New York City. Hospitalizations, ventilators, people that died, like it was all down, which is a first.
That's
during
awesome.
This whole thing.
What, it was the first that everything was down?
Yeah, and De Blasio opened a press conference like it's a good news day. But we're still so far out of it, guys. But wouldn't you feel like, did you feel, is confident too wrong a word to say that come September we'll have football that just probably won't be in front of fans?
I'm not confident, but that's the way I would bet.
And even if it's not September, to delay it till October, you know, because listen, the NFL is not.
But then we had Costas on, and he said he doesn't think there's going to be an American sports played in 2020. He said it.
All right. Well, I mean, Bob Costas is entitled to his opinion, but it's just as valuable as mine. I mean, we're not doctors either.
But the thing that's a problem, though, is that there are still rules against groups of more than 50 getting together. And I mean, as long as that's happening in California, how are they playing in California?
But again, it's only April.
Yep.
There's a lot that can happen, and football isn't under the same constraint that baseball is, Michael. I mean, football could start in December. They could start Christmas Day and finish the season in May or June of the following year. I mean, they could do that if they wanted to. You know, so I think that because of the timing of football, where it might be too late for others, you know, how are we going to be in November or December? You know, maybe if they waited till a vaccine for the first year, what if they started in January 1? They could probably put together a full season. No buys, just play.
You know what freaked me out yesterday on the broadcast? I don't know if you guys felt the same thing. For some reason, I got a cold chill when they showed the Vegas Strip.
Oh, me too.
Not a car. Not a person on the Vegas Strip.
Michaels, it's like you and I are one and the same. That was more. I've seen shots of New York. I've seen so many things. But to see not one car on the Vegas Strip, Las Vegas Boulevard, there's not a moment in the day when you pull out and there's not traffic on Las Vegas Boulevard. It's just what it is. And it's empty. It was like an apocalypse movie.
It was really, really chilling.
Yeah, because
it's what we need.
Because of us, because you would say, well, Times Square, right? Like, how odd is it to see all those lights flashing and there's not a soul on the street? But because we're New Yorkers, we've all, at some time, because of work or whatever, have driven, like, on Times Square at 3 o'clock in the morning and not seen anybody. I mean, it's rare, but it does happen. But you're like Vegas? Really?
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, before we break, I want to go to our good buddy, Brendan Callahan. He's a friend of the show. We first met him when he was in a horrific bus accident.
Yes.
He's recovered beautifully, and it's his 13th birthday tomorrow.
Oh, whoa.
Brendan, since we're not on the air, happy birthday in advance.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, what's up, guys?
How you doing, Brendan?
I'm doing pretty good. Are you guys staying safe inside and all that stuff?
Yeah, we sure are.
Yeah, one thing I want to talk about is, like, I don't know what you guys' is input on this, but it was ridiculous how like the Packers pick Love when you got one of the highest paid quarterbacks slash one of the best quarterbacks in the league, Aaron Rodgers, and then you go out of your way to trade for that draft pick when you didn't have to, and then you pick Love. So what do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think it's as strange as people are making out to be, Brendan, because of the fact he's going to be 37, Aaron Rodgers, in December. Now, if the Kansas City Chiefs did it, then that would be odd to me. And I believe that they moved up to that pick because there was some concern that Bill Belichick wanted him.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's as odd as people say. I mean, you have to prepare for the future, and what a great way to learn as a quarterback because he does need work. Mark Sanchez said on our show yesterday, he needs work, and now you're going to be learning at the foot of the master, just like Rodgers did.
And really, as long as Rodgers plays, this is going to be a team that's going to be 9-7, 10-6 at least every year. And that means you're going to be drafting in the 20s, where there may not be a quarterback as good as this kid might be in their eyes. So you could pass on him, and then 3 years from now, still not find a quarterback that's any good to replace Aaron Rodgers. And now Rodgers is going to turn 40, and he's at the end of his contract. So if you love him, then I think you got to go out and get him.
I went through the funniest range of emotions with Ballard. I was on Zoom.
I can imagine.
He was despondent. Wouldn't talk. Wouldn't say a word.
Ballard.
Child.
And I go, hey, you know, I said, he's only got 2-3 years left. He's like, no, he doesn't have 2-3 years left. Rodgers wants to play until his 40s. He's not showing no signs of slowing down. By the next day, I'm not joking. If you want to know what a psychopath looks like, I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. and had an email from him numbered a 10-point list of his thoughts on this pick.
I hope you didn't read any of it.
And 9 of them were positive, and he completely changed his tune on it. I will say the most logical thing he said was, he was frustrated to see other Packers fans freaking out about this, given that this is a team that if any fan base should understand the value of getting a quarterback and getting him in the system early, these guys have had two quarterbacks since 1993. They are a franchise that should be used to this way of operating.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.